because, you know, we evaluate the executive director and how he's doing, we can give him direction. We are a go-between between the clients and the commission itself, should ever be needed. If they have any questions, we're supposed to be up to date on things, obviously. And if things are going in ways that we and as consumers and as well as others consumers feel that is different from what they should be going, then in that position we kind of need to step in and be like, okay, this is something that we need to take a little bit more of an active role in. But as of, you know, in my experience, we haven't by any means needed to do that because we are going in the right direction, in my opinion. So we are administrative in that we administrate the main administrator. And we definitely advise when requested and are there for the support and the representation of the consumers.
Yeah, one of the areas that you need to get involved is also reading all those finance reports and making sure that they are being spent in the right areas. But also the state plan, it used to be a separate plan, now it's a combined plan, and I will be sending to you that section of the plan so you can read it, and if you want to change any of our goals, make those suggestions. But that's something that you're supposed to do too.
Does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of listening, I don't have a vested interest in the future, but, you know, you might want to have that when you do the training for the next commissioner, and you do that usually every 2 years, you might, you know, discuss that, you know, at more depth at that time, and, you know, hear from old commissioners and that would be a good thing.
So Mark, you want to come and have an invested future?
Yeah.
Okay, so any going back to the idea of focus topics, if we were going to kind of relook at that handbook, would that not also be kind of a thing to do at that training thing, or we want to actually take time during a meeting to do that? Because we are going to have to do another training thing for March replacement at the very least. So.
Well, I would say probably doing a kind of training if we're already going to be doing that.
Does that work for everybody?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we still need a focus topic for the February meeting then.
I got one. No, I'm just
kidding. Go ahead, Ellen.
Focusing on senior activities other than the senior conference. I did kind of want to comment earlier on what other things are in the pipeline other than the senior conference for seniors. Because I noticed when I went to the school in Lincoln, it was geared more towards the younger students staying in the workforce and teaching them home management skills. And as a senior, I just felt almost kind of like out of place at times. And so my thing is that I was splitting my leisure time or my senior time between Outlook Nebraska and the commission. And it was kind of pulling me in both ways, where Outlook Nebraska provided the, you know, local activities, you know, the group talks, and, you know, just some of the personal things that, you know, help you navigate blindness. Whereas the commission, it's more towards work.
Excuse me. Sorry.
You know, I think that's a good idea. I think maybe we could have a focus topic concerning services to the older blind, because we do have counselors that work, I believe anyway, specifically with the older blind, and maybe having one or two of those counselors make a presentation on just specifically services to the older blind. I think that's a good idea myself.
Okay.
Well, and one of the things that they mentioned at the last senior conference is maybe having like Zoom calls, which I've been on the Zoom calls with out in Nebraska since the pandemic. And it's a small group of us, but it was tremendously helpful for us to be able to share our stories and become close with one another and occasionally meet up for the activities. And when I see the commercial on the TV about the Nebraska Commission for the Blind, you know, I thought maybe, well, since, you know, that might increase, you know, some of the interest that, I know there's more seniors in the state of Nebraska that are facing blindness, and it's just, you know, how to reach them, to get them to come to, you know, some of these programs and ways to, you know, get them in touch with others that are facing the same thing.
Okay.
I'll just say this, you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Becoming blind is different than other vocal rehabs. You know, not only, usually if you're, you know, you're paralyzed or something, they work on, you know, your skills to get you to work. But when someone is blind, they have to integrate the life skills into the whole experience, which would also mean, like, things like you're talking about. But what does the commission do? I know our goal is to get people to work and then help seniors to be independent. Do you have any emphasis on how to live a quality of life?
Yeah, that's what most of our independent living counselors do in the field.
Mm-hmm.
They work on independent living skills.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know when you were for training, but back then we couldn't use OIB funds
mm-hmm.
for the center, so the focus was just employment. But now that we have the funds, we are working with senior blind, and we are focusing more on that too. We used to get only maybe less than 10% of our overall budget for senior blind, and they didn't give much for training. The agency at one point, and I'm talking about 30, 25 years ago, was expending or using VR funds for what back then was called homemakers. Mm-hmm. And then the federal law changed that and said homemakers is not a vocational goal.
Mm-hmm.
So we couldn't provide services for that. And they said you can only provide IOL services or OIB within these funds, which, like I mentioned, wasn't much at all. And that's what Mark mentioned earlier, that was one of the main things seniors wanted, you know, more services, which we work on getting more funds. So now we can say almost 40% of our budget is for OIB. So we are doing more and more on that. The commercials were designed just to, in general, to mention what the agency was about or is about, but we are getting videos for senior blind and for transition, so that will be coming out in the next few months. Okay? But yeah, we need to, this is a good conversation, because at one point, and Cheryl can attest to that, when she worked for the commission, the focus was employment, which still is for those who, you know, are working with VR clients. But what I'm saying is we are not just the VR agency, we are the IEL and VR agency for the blind. These days we are not just the VR agency, we are both.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that our staff members need to be working on too, more and more. So thank you for the comment. Yeah.
So maybe for our focus topic for February, maybe something focused more on the IL side of things.
OIB.
Well, this OIB was for this one.
Was this one?
And they talked about the Silver Summit a lot, but maybe just something more on the services they provide to help with the IL aspect of the OIB.
Okay, independent living, yeah. And then also discussing, you know, possibly how you deal with seniors who are losing vision, and then, you know, because they're probably at a place where, you know, many of them were once fully sighted, and so now they're losing their vision, so they're becoming blind people. And so making that transition from a sighted person to a blind person, not only teaching skills, but also helping a person to get the attitude and the mindset that, hey, you know, I'm losing vision, you know, I'm not always going to be sighted. These are the skills, but then this is the attitude that needs to come along with the skills in order to make those skills work and to help the person to live a productive life, you know. And I think if we could get a couple of, and I know there are, the agency has good counselors that work with seniors to discuss some of that as well. I think that would be a good, you know, a good thing to bring into it.
This is Erin. I just have one point of clarification because I want to make sure it's valuable to you for the next one compared to what we did this time. That's what we were hoping for by bringing in some, you know, consumers who are receiving our services, and they just also happen to be receiving Silver Summit. So it's an exciting thing to talk about. But at this next one, would you like it if we just have more of like a case study focus? Because that you're right that this is the work we do all the day, and sometimes we try to like talk about the highlights and the new things. So if we just delivered, you know, we've had some counselors able to attend who work with the IL or OIB populations on day-to-day services. We have some case studies to try to bring in a few consumers to talk about that. Would that meet your guys' expectations for that topic?
I think that would be a great idea.
Okay, just want to make sure I was in the right ear.
Sounds good.
Okay. I mean, that's just my opinion, but...
Yeah.
And Mickey's still here. I'm pretty sure he can contest to some of the issues, especially with technology, that when he was with Outlook, how the seniors tried to navigate, you know, everyday living, like answering the phone and, you know, reading mail and things of that. You know, I was fortunate to be able to go to the school and learn a lot of things there, where when I took, you know, got that information, I tried to bring it back to some of the Outlook, you know, people on the Outlook Nebraska video calls. So,
and this is Angie. I think one of the things that we just really want people to know is, you know, the numbers of referrals we get in the OIB program is pretty staggering, honestly, across the state. And so focusing, you know, we do meet with each one of these people at their homes, at their level, and try to provide whatever services it is that we can provide to keep them in their home, like we mentioned, and independent. Sometimes that has to be, as a counselor, that has to be our primary focus. We all know that the peer part of it is so important. It truly is. And with the given the numbers that we have across the state, the group teachings, the Silver Summit, that becomes our highlight for that part of our services, because honestly, that's about the only way we can do that. Some of us here remember back in the day, we had 52 peer groups across the state of Nebraska that met monthly, and that was an incredible thing. So many VIPs is what we called it, if you are unfamiliar with that. It was an incredible service that we, along with the VIPs group, were able to do. You know, I'm in hopes that we can do something like that again. Our staff is probably not going to be able to run those groups like we did 20 years ago. So we need to look towards consumers and consumer organizations to help us with that. And that's on my list of things to do. But know that we really do recognize that peer interaction and the understanding, the counseling part of losing your vision as you age is really a top priority to us. But we want to first of all make sure you're safe and able to be in your homes and stay in your homes.
Yeah, because a lot of people that, you know, were on the Outlook Nebraska call didn't even know anything about what the commission does for people.
And it's great that people are getting our name out there and such. And
yeah, I was happy to see
that. We appreciate that.
Yeah, part of the role of the commission is not an ongoing continuum of service. It's to give you the basic skills so that you have the knowledge and the ability to kind of self-guide yourself. Consumer groups like ACB, MFB, even Outlook is more for the ongoing, keeping you up to date, helping you sustain things. But yeah, the commission cannot be an ongoing resource. You know, they do what they can, get you the skills you can, and then you got to move on.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, and Holly, you've been on our NFB and senior division calls a couple times, and
But sometimes you don't want to be pulled in all these different
But one of our things as a senior division is to, you know, encourage those who are, you know, let them ask questions at the meeting or share. You know, and some of us call individuals outside of the meeting just to encourage or find out if we can do anything to support. And and so, you know, that's that's what we're, you know, so the consumer groups are, you know, are a way to interact with individuals too.
Right.
Okay. So we're all good with IL, our independent living aspects of the OIB being for... Okay. So then the May 1, of course, we have the executive director evaluation. I know that it brought up at one point in time, I think one year when I was on, didn't we have a focus topic for that as well? Or
We did. We've seen it both ways.
So do we want to have an additional focus topic for that one, or do we just want to stick with the evaluation? And if we do...
What?
I know the eval can sometimes take some time, so...
I'm good with just leaving it eval.
I think my own opinion is just to leave it.
Okay.
You know.
Sounds good. Good with you, too?
Yep.
Okay. Then we have the July 1. What do we want to have as a focus topic for that one?
I would say AI and accessible devices.
Okay. Everyone good with that?
AI and...
Artificial intelligence.
And accessible devices.
Okay.
July 26th.
And it's always good to have maybe a tie with the wages.
And then finally we have the November meeting, November 2nd, here in Omaha. Focus topics for that?
Do the SSP program. We've been doing it for a year by then.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Sounds
like a good idea.
Good job.
Okay.
Way to go, Alex.
Okay, so we have, as it stands right now, February 3rd in Lincoln with independent living services for the OIB. May 9th in North Platte with a focus topic, just being the executive director.
May 4th,
looks like a 9 sometimes. Thank you. May 4th in North Platte, executive director's evaluation. July 26th in Lincoln with AI and other adaptive technologies. And then November 2nd here in Omaha with the focus topic being SSP. Do I have a motion for that to be accepted?
So moved.
Second?
Aye. Yeah.
Miguel seconds. Okay, so we'll do a roll call. Miguel?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
I say aye as well.
Aye.
And Linda?
Aye.
Okay, so moved.
Would there be an issue with having the November meeting in Omaha not in this building?
I don't think so.
I just think the issue of people getting in the front door is...
I don't they could, I mean, I don't think that there's a specific rule that it has to be in the state building.
No,
it doesn't have it. But, I mean, it's been here always, it seems like, except for, like, we had it at Outlook.
The reason why it's here is
we don't have to pay to be here, probably.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We don't have to pay, but also some commissioners didn't know the office. They wanted to know where the office was.
Yeah.
And also we expected clients to come, and they knew this place. So that was the only reason. But other than that, it's up to you.
I mean, it's a year away, but it's not. I mean, I would just...
We have some time, but to think about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just something to think about.
Yeah.
Tim, that's your responsibility.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then we have another public comment period. Any other questions from the public about anything that we already discussed? Or?
I'm still flat. I had some questions, but I already talked, so if someone else has questions.
No, you're fine.
Go for it.
Okay. Carlos, you mentioned the agencies that have VR and independent blind agencies wouldn't be affected as much or maybe not as all by some budgetary changes that you're expecting coming down from the feds. So does that mean the agencies that are together may have more issues? Towards the beginning of your talk.
When I was talking about the dear colleague later on the new definition of state recipient, or about the question that Mark mentioned?
It was before you talked about the next question.
It was in my report.
It was in your report, and it was right before you talked about RSA having some mandates that the state agencies have not identified interest. And so I did have a question. I was wondering if you could give an example of what mandates have come down.
Well, it's a dear colleague later, and that's, you know, one of the, it's not like a policy or rule, but because there is nothing else, it's something like we need to follow. But in that particular one, for years, all these years, we were a designated state unit or designated state agency. So each agency, in the case of Nebraska, two different agencies, will be considered a designated state agency. So if we were able to spend all our funds and get enough what is called maintenance of efforts. Are you familiar with that term?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, maintenance of efforts is the federal government requires the state to have a maintenance of efforts, meaning that the state needs to give some efforts to provide, meaning the government, not necessarily our state agency, to provide enough funds so the federal government can send their federal match. So to make it simple, if the state needs to give $1 million and the federal government $3 million, so next year, the state need to have at least the same amount of funds, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But for instance, in Nebraska, we are fortunate, we are getting now like $2.6 million, from which $1.6 million is being used for VR services. So we get around $3.6 million from the federal government for VR services. So our 20% of $3 million will be, well, say, $100,000,
yeah.
Right, around that time, that much.
Yeah.
But our maintenance of efforts is $1.6 million now. So we need to always, at least in the future, have at least $1.6 million. We are responsible, meaning our agency is responsible to year by year work on that. And as long as we have that maintenance of effort in May, we can request a realignment. And realignment is when other state agencies don't spend all their funds and send money back to RSA. So RSA reallocate those funds from the state agencies that were able to spend, you know, the money, but also that have enough maintenance of effort. So in our case, we're fine. Mm-hmm. But let's say VR, the VR agency, don't have enough. So then we have to work with them. We are not depending on our own. So that's the problem that could arise in other state agencies. New Mexico was giving an example that the VR agency didn't meet the maintenance of efforts by $10, I think.
Oh.
So they were concerned that they could be affected, the agency for the blind. Now, RSA is saying that it wouldn't be affected, but that's not how we look. That's why we are asking for clarification.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an example. Yeah.
And then you mentioned, thank you for that, mm-hmm. you said that RSA used to ask for state input in changes that they proposed, but you said it seems like RSA has not been requesting input from
Correct.
The states. So do you have an example of a mandated change that RSA made? I'm just curious, what are they telling you to do?
One of them is the one that I just mentioned, this new curriculum about the new definition of...
They changed that?
They changed that, yeah.
Interesting.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, it's a concern. That's one. The other one that is a big deal is they're just deciding that there is a new definition. I think it's tools versus equipment. So, for instance, for the business enterprise program, we purchase the equipment, which is the vending machine. But these days, most vending machines need to be operated by a credit card. So we buy a credit card reader, where a credit card reader is considered a tool, not an equipment, according to RSA. Therefore, if we want to buy new machines for, you know, a vendor who needs a new machine, we cannot purchase the credit card reader because we could purchase equipment but not tools.
Mm-hmm.
And that definition wasn't there before. So we're asking for clarification. We sent letters asking those questions in February. It's November and they haven't given those answers.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So.
Then I had a question about the SSP pilot program
mm-hmm.
that apparently lots of state agencies are cooperating. Is that currently funded by a legislative
no.
bill? So is that funded by each agency?
No. Okay. I'm going to try to summarize some. Most states don't have SSPs.
Mm-hmm.
The deafblind consumers always say that that's the main need they have. So these different stakeholders were trying to work for years on trying to find funding for that. So the commission decided that because we have a good state funding, that is for independent living and VR, like I mentioned earlier, we could use that money for SSPs because we do have enough funds. So the Commission for the Blind is the only agency besides the Friends of the Commission who are helping with this. But the others were working for years on trying to get funding.
You're making me think of new questions, but I'll keep on, I'm not sure.
Well, that's why we're having these open meetings.
Well, then I'm curious, I guess you'll probably ask for legislative support if the program goes well.
Exactly.
The statistics to show. Wonderful.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's the idea, yeah.
So okay. Then my final question is...
Hope you will come to testify, Kristen.
What's that?
Hope you will come to testify.
UNL, you mentioned they come for structured discovery exploration or instruction. What's that look like? Do the UNL students go under sleep shades and like Jeff works with them, or do they go out with Jeff and other instructors and work with the clients and the commission? I'm just curious what that looks
They come to the center. It is not necessarily the best scenario, because to really, really get the idea, you know, 2 days, 1 week is not enough.
Right.
But they come to the center and they look at how we run our center under sleep shades and using structural discovery. And the main focus is orientation and mobility. So it's Jeff plus the other, but mainly Jeff. We also get a vision teacher from here. What's her name?
Mary.
Dr. Mary Nguyen, right?
No,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she also comes to that one.
Mary Noel Chamberlain?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
She has a certification.
Yeah. I think she has both certifications. Yeah. She's the one who contacted UNL and suggested that.
Because I think comms folks do have to do some sleep shade training. I think maybe other people know. And I'm sure not 600.
Okay,
sure. I have a question. So is UNL the only college that does that? Why doesn't UNL or any other college do that?
Well, to make the long story short, there is something called the traditional training and the structural discovery training. And the traditional training has more like a medical model. And the structural discovery training started in California in the early 60s, and then moved to Iowa and then Nebraska. It wasn't called structural discovery, but it was named structural discovery by a researcher from England who came because they heard that blind people were teaching cane travel. Anyhow, most universities that do orientation and mobility don't use structural discovery. They use the traditional model. More and more, you know, when you go to conferences, meetings, people wonder, okay, there is a blind person there just walking by himself or herself using a long cane. Why is that different from other conferences? And they realize that it's because of the structural discovery. The only other university that I know does full structural discovery is the Louisiana Tech University. Now, UNL talks about every approach. They don't just use structural discovery. So as part of every approach, that's why they only come here for a couple of days or a week. A couple of years ago, the University of Massachusetts came also to take a look at how we were doing structural discovery, because they are one of the main ones that do the traditional training.
Chadron or?
They don't, yeah.
They don't
yet. I do also, I don't know, Miguel, this is Crystal, wondering, like most states, I would say, only have one personnel preparatory training program in a university or academic setting, because it's very expensive.
Yep.
The number of students you have going through and the professionals, the professors you have that instruct that, it ends up being very costly for taxpayers. Yep. And so most states only have one program. UNL did not have a certification for orientation mobility specialist training program up until maybe, I don't know, 5 years ago, when the current UNL person came. So they're very costly, and there's a big demand across the country for more teachers of the visually impaired and certified ONM instructors.
Is there a UNL, though? UNL, the same college system?
Well, they're both part of the university system as well as UNK, but they each, and they all answered this to the same but they all have their own individual presidents, their own deans, et cetera, et cetera. So in a way, they're united at the top, but they're separate, not too far beyond that.
Yeah, like UNO doesn't offer the same majors as maybe UNL. So if you want,
that's why I was just wondering about why UNL but not UNO.
Demand.
Plus, probably also just the fact that the Commission's Orientation Center is right there probably has something to do with it.
Well, I mean, UNL are the ones who wrote the grant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like Crystal mentioned, it cost a lot of money, so they took the initiative, wrote the grant, and they got. I remember that because I was asked to write a letter of support back then.
Any other questions, comments, concerns from the public?
This is good.
Yeah.
At the time we have more questions, I think.
Yeah. I'm going to pay for my way to come to the conference.
No, I enjoy this because when it's just a report, it feels like, well, we can publish that and have people read it. Mm-hmm. When we have interaction, mm-hmm. it's worth it. We enjoy this type of interaction with the public.
Keep that up, Wayne.
Yeah.
Okay, hearing none, the next thing on the agenda is the final announcements. I guess the first one, of course, would be, now that we know, is going to be the next meeting is February 3rd in Lincoln, the focus topic being IL for the OIB. Do we have any other final announcements or new business we need to attend to?
Okay, comment. Linda mentioned on an email that she wanted to discuss a personnel issue. I don't know if you still
want to. Yeah, we would have to go into executive session.
Right, that's the only one.
So if someone wants, if you want to do that, that would be the time to make that motion.
But that would be the last item, so the rest
yeah.
of the public don't have to come back if you don't want to.
Right.
This is Crystal. Can I introduce someone who's here who I hope will be on your board in February?
Sure.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. So Patricia, or Patty.
Yes, Patty.
Shola mm-hmm. is sitting next to me, and she's been nominated to serve on the next board to take Mark's place in leadership there. And so Patty is relatively new to Nebraska, but has a wealth of experience in working with individuals who are blind and visually impaired. So we're excited to have her to nominate. And so I hope you'll welcome her. By the way, I'm the president of the American Council for Blind in Nebraska. So
I was going to say, replacing Mark would have to be ACB. So,
that's, we hope that the governor will just welcome her like we would like.
Patty, can you spell your name for me, please?
Shonla is Schonlau. And Patty is with an I, Patti.
All right, thank you much.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to move that we go into executive session to discuss the personnel issue that was referenced in an email.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there a second for that?
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Miguel?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
I say aye as well.
Aye.
And,
aye.
Okay. So thank you for everybody for joining us. And.